Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings joins us now. His team on the road tomorrow night against the University of Georgia. Coach, what's going on this morning?
Just trying to get ready to play another tough road game, and hopefully we can play better than we did in the last two.
Is it tough to kind of know what you're going to get out of Georgia? I saw them play against Tennessee on TV a couple weeks ago, and they looked like they kind of mailed it in. Then the next game, they play Florida at home, and they pull one of the biggest upsets, if not the biggest, in the conference this season.
Yeah, I think that when you have a situation like they're in with the coaching change and all the just the tumultuous nature of the state of their program right now, I think it is hard to know what to expect. And so, you know, obviously you're very concerned because they proved against Florida that they're a very capable team. So we'll just have to be ready to go down there and play a good, solid game. And hopefully if we play well, it won't matter how they play.
If you can take away some positives from your game at Florida on Saturday, is that your guys, you know, put together a nice run in the second half and kind of climb back into the game?
Well, I was certainly glad that we didn't mail it in, and that's not been the nature of our team. But I was still overall disappointed in our performance, and I just don't think that that there's any team in this league this year that should be that we should not be able to compete with a little better than we competed for the majority of that game on Saturday. So Florida's a tough matchup for us. They're one of the harder teams in the league this year for us to play for whatever reason, but I was still disappointed that we didn't play a little better. But I told our team I certainly was proud of the fact that we continued to fight and we did get it back to where we had a chance to make it a game. But overall, it was a disappointing performance.
Kevin, a little frustrating. You guys go on a scoring drought of almost 8 minutes, just about right out of the shoot. And you missed. You guys had a lot of fairly easy shots from in close that you couldn't connect on.
Well, that is frustrating, Mark, and that, you know, it just when you're on the road, it's very deflating because when you work yourself into position to get high percentage shots and then you don't convert or you get your shot blocked or you don't catch the pass that can lead you right to the basket or whatever the case might be, you know, it just really digs a hole for you. And that 8 minute stretch cost us the game. I mean, other than that, we played an even game with them. And so, you just can't afford to have that kind of a letdown, or that kind of a drought. And unfortunately we did.
Not to single any one player out, but Jermaine Beal is a guy that, you know, when he plays well, you guys, you know, seem to play well. Last three games, you know, hasn't scored very much, but also 5 assists, 8 turnovers. Is that indicative of his play? And just talk about that overall dynamic.
Well, I think that for a lot of teams, you play somewhat as your point guard plays. And I think that, you know, if you take the two losses that we've had in the last three games, I don't think that he's had particularly good games. I thought he was very solid in the Kentucky game, and that helped lead us to victory. So, you know, it's just one of those things to where your veteran guys need to play well, and Jermaine has gone from being a guy that a year ago was just a support kind of player and, you know, a role player to get the ball to Shane and Red and AJ and those guys, to now he's a guy that we're totally dependent upon his play. And anytime he has a bad day, it's not going to be usually a pretty thing for our team. And I think he welcomes that responsibility, but I think it's been a big adjustment for him.
Kevin, you said after the game that good passing teams give you guys trouble. Can you explain that?
Well, I think that, you know, in Florida's case, they've got 3 or 4 guys out on the court that can really pass the ball, and so they get the floor really spread. And then when they're able to penetrate and when they're able to drive, you know, your support comes and you stop the drive. And then when the ball gets being passed around, it's hard to get it stopped again, especially with them, because they're well schooled on how to drive it and kick it. And you face very few teams that have you know, three or four or five guys at a time on the court that can really pass the ball. But you get into that with Florida, and in my opinion, they've got the best passer in college basketball in Calathes, and he just tends to make everybody around him better. And so that's kind of what I was referring to, and they utilize ball screens great, and he's like an NBA player off ball screens. He just knows the right decision to make, the right play to make, and he makes it. And then they're a very good shooting team, and they end up being a very tough guard.
Kevin, it's been, what, 5 weeks ago since you played Georgia, but in that game, Ogilvy was pretty strong. Do you feel like that's going to be, not to give away, I feel like I keep asking you what your game plan is going to be before the night of every game that you play, but do you feel like that's obviously, you know, an area where you got to exploit, is just get him the ball on the block inside early on to, you know, against that kind of weak front line of Georgia?
Well, you know, Frank, I think that, it's a good question, and certainly it's the part of the game that we try to establish every night, because AJ is our best offensive weapon, and although Georgia's front line doesn't score great, they're a very big and very physical front line. So it's not, even though they're not, I mean, that one of their guys is one of their leading scorers, but they're very big and physical defensively. So it is important to get AJ going. It's important to get him in the rhythm and of the game, and if we get him the ball, I think he can get to the foul line, which he was able to do in the first game against them. So,
do you find that the teams just, you're seeing constant defense on Ogilvy to say, hey, we got to take Ogilvy away? And are you seeing that consistently game in and game out? Is that what other teams are trying to take away from you guys?
I think that they're trying to take it away without. That, you know, that's their number one emphasis going into each game defensively against us, I think. However, I don't think they're wanting to commit, two and three players to it all the time. And it just kind of depends on who we have on the court. If we've got some of our non-scoring guys on the court, then I think that they try to load up on him a little bit more. But if we keep guys that are shot makers on the court, then it's a little harder for them. And so, I think that early on it was a little bit worse than it is now. I think that Taylor's emergence, Tinsley's emergence, Beal's, the season that he's had from the perimeter, which has been very good, has made it more difficult for people to isolate on AJ. But I certainly think that that's the game plan going in every night.
Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings is our guest. We had a conversation in the previous segment about young players and getting them to fit into your system. How difficult is it sometimes to get guys who've averaged 20, 25 points a game in high school, or, you know, a bunch of rebounds or whatever, to come in and understand what their role is going to be on your club and buy into your system and what you're trying to accomplish?
You know, we've not had a big problem with that. I think that one of the things that we really try and do in the recruiting process, Kevin, is recruit guys that are going to be team-oriented. And so in our effort to do that and in the things that we say to them and tell them, I think that they understand when they come in that it's about the team first. It's not about everybody trying to get to the league and all that kind of thing. It's about being a Vanderbilt basketball player, and we've not had a big problem trying to get guys to accept their roles and buy into what we're asking them to do, and I've been very grateful for that, because I know that some coaches have that problem, and we've just not had that problem. Our guys have been great that way, and I think if anything, the biggest challenge we have is trying to get guys to play their role as well as they can play it. But they've all been very willing to accept what we've asked them to do.
How much do coaches struggle when trying to decide to redshirt guys, you know, versus, you know, when you weigh, can a guy help us right now? Does he need a year of conditioning? Will he be burnt out at the end if we redshirt him and, you know, he ends up being here 5 years? How tough of a decision is that sometimes?
It can be a tough decision, but the reason that it's not tough for us is because we never force a kid to redshirt. We always give them the option, and so every kid that we've ever redshirted, I've gone to and said, you know, if you were my son, this is what I would advise you to do. However, you need to talk to your parents, talk to your high school coach, talk to whomever that you feel like you need to talk to and consult with on this decision, and then make the decision that you feel like is best for you. And, you know, most kids, when I tell them that, will ultimately redshirt, but some kids have said no thank you, and that's fine, and we play them, and it's just water under the bridge. It's not a big deal to me. But so that's how we handle it. We don't force kids to redshirt. We don't make them redshirt. And it's always their choice if they decide to.